Good morning, everyone. We welcome you today to our roundtable discussion. So glad you could join us. Sunday, September 9th, 2018, and we will begin with our morning prayer.
Mrs. Eddy's prayer, given at the Massachusetts Metaphysical College. Oh my God, I offer as a consecrated gift upon thine altar a heart dedicated to thy service, lips speaking only words of charity, love, and truth, thoughts striving to be only the true thoughts of the mind of God. Help me to endure unto the end, strong in the faith, powerful in the truth, all the influence that I can bring to bear, all the force of tongue or pen that is mine, I offer in thy service. May heaven help, consecrate, and accept.
Thank you. In miscellaneous writings, Mary Baker Eddy. We today in this classroom are enough to convert the world if we are of one mind. For then the whole world will feel the influence of this mind, as when the earth was without form, and mind spake, and form appeared. Subject today is substance. Golden text, Psalm 45. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is wrought of gold. Anyone like to make comment on our golden text?
Just that this applies to the guys too, not just for the ladies. We're all male and female. Pretty much an all-encompassing thing. We're all glorious within. Our clothing, that thing that covers us, you know, the knowledge of truth and love, the presence of God himself, is of wrought gold, the finest and the highest. It says something pretty special about what God has made, you and me and everyone else.
Thank you. It is a beautiful verse. One, many of us here were given by Mrs. Evans years ago, and in case it was women, and perhaps female problems and troubles. And I know I was healed of that years ago with this verse. But if you have any kind of inward troubles, inward turmoil, you can know that you, male or female, you are glorious within. Don't let error tell you you've got trouble. God's law is in your inward parts, the Bible says. So remember this. You're glorious within. That's how God made you. And if error is telling you something else, you've got the right to refute it and claim your true substance, your true substance, which is spiritual, which is in God. Now, the responsive reading is Barbara here? No. Okay, well, she on the forum commented on the responsive reading. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. And does anyone have that definition of pervert? I do. Well, she gives the definition: to turn from truth, propriety, or from its proper purpose, to distort from its true use or end, as to pervert reason by misdirecting it, to pervert the laws by misinterpreting and misapplying them, to pervert justice, to pervert the meaning of an author, to pervert nature, to pervert truth. So then she says, so fits with what occurred with Emmanuel after Mrs. Eddy's passing. And Parthen speaks to that as well. He says that it can be likened to changing the tables of a physical and mathematical constant in the handbook of chemistry and physics, upon which chemical engineers and physicists depend for error-free outcomes in their research endeavors. You have to have the exact truth. You have to apply the truth exactly, or it won't work right. Isn't that true? Yes.
Yes.
That is why, you know, we pray daily, often here, to keep Mrs. Eddy's truth pure, unperverted, free from contamination. It's very, very important. And how do you know if you're doing this or not?
I think you have more peace if you're doing it.
Thank you, you do. And you won't have peace if you were trying to figure out something that's perverted. It won't compute. That's what Linda said last week, right? When you were talking about, once she found out about what had gone on with the 1910 coup, you were given a greater sense of peace.
Yeah, and I realized that a lot of the teaching stemmed from the people who were doing this coup, that it had changed the teaching, really. And while it seemed outwardly some of the same language, it was not.
Yes.
And it gave me great peace to understand where this all came from and what was operating.
Yes. So what we're doing is just exposing the lie and giving you what is really true, so you can work the problems out yourself and get the proper solution. So how do you know if it's right? Well, it'll work. It works. Up until I found all this out, it wasn't working for me. Maybe it works for some people, but it didn't work for me. It didn't. There was something wrong. It was perverted. It felt perverted. And so this is a very important point. Lawrence, do you want to say anything about what you wrote on the forum about perversion?
Oh, yes. Hold on a second. No, I said that we must be careful that the truth about our spiritual individuality be not perverted by the false suggestions of sickness, sin, wrong thoughts, and everything that would seek to distort our perfection. I mean, we're constantly bombarded with different false suggestions, which are mesmeric at times. So I love Mrs. Eddy constantly saying to stand and not waver when we know the truth about what we are. And that, I think, is what repels the lies that come. It keeps our peace and joy.
Thank you.
It does, yes. And it works to go along with the words without the spirit, without the truth behind them, is like wishful thinking, and it doesn't work when it's been perverted.
Now today, the reason I find this so important is today we see so many perversions in every way, certainly on the news. You're just constantly having to ask yourself, what is truth? Is this the truth? Is this really what's going on? What is really going on? Your spiritual sense has to be in tune and operating, which is why we talk about that so much, because you will know by what you feel. And also, you can't be stupid or dumb. You've got to know what's going on. You have to do sometimes a little investigating to know the truth. You just can't be blind. It's interesting. Tom has been away. He's been in Hawaii. And he's not here today yet either. But anyway, he went to Principia all through school, and he has a lot of Principia friends. And he went out, like someone was getting married or something out there. But he, I don't think he'll mind if I say this. I heard from him yesterday, and he said nobody out there knows anything that's going on. They never heard about Eustace. They don't know about Carpenter. They know nothing, 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 nothing. And my understanding is most of them, too, have left science. That's what he said. They've left science, not because of Mrs. Eddy, but because of the cramped style of the organization.
So, the fact that it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. So he's enlightening them, no doubt. Now, there's something else that I feel I need to address, and that is, and this has gone on forever, that there is this sense, well, the work we do, the work a scientist does, can be reversed. So, anyone want to comment on that?
How can you reverse truth? If we're declaring truth, it stands. It's the rock.
Yes.
You cannot reverse that.
Cannot reverse it.
That thought, that it could ever be reversed, is the devil speaking. It is what the devil wants you to think. It wants you to, and it will try to discourage you, try to get you tired, it will animate someone close to you to try to discourage you from continuing to stand for the truth. It'll try in whatever way it can to get you to accept that it could possibly be reversed.
You can't reverse 2 + 2 = 4, and principle, God, is fixed, so that is the truth. It can never be reversed.
But okay. I think Mrs. Singletary said it very nicely, that the people thought they were doing right. And this is what my problem has been. I keep thinking I'm doing right, but if I'm a fraction off of the absolute truth, it comes out wrong. That's what I've discovered.
Yes, you're right.
So, we all go into our hearts, and there are various people that you will find you like to read, and it means something to you, and those are the ones you should go to, and we will not tell you what you should read or what you shouldn't, but we do advertise those that we feel are the very best, and I feel it because when I've listened and read and applied the things that they've said, they work for me. They make sense to me, and I feel that they are directly, they go along with what Mrs. Eddy said, and Mrs. Eddy is the one, mainly, Mrs. Eddy, and perhaps this is why, if you want to go to there, the organization doesn't want anyone else but Mrs. Eddy, and it's a good point. What does Mrs. Eddy say? Go back to Mrs. Eddy.
Yes.
But any of these early workers were very helpful.
Yes.
And so
yes, thank you.
This perversion, whether it was ignorant or malicious, and some could be malicious, it's smooth-tongued villainy. That's what is in the lesson this week.
It involves dishonesty, and Mrs. Eddy is very clear about honesty. He has to go along with truth.
Yes.
So it was dishonest not to follow her directions.
Yes, it was. It says in the lesson about animal false evidence of the material senses. I am wholly dishonest, and no man knoweth it. I can cheat, lie, commit adultery, rob, murder, and I elude detection by smooth-tongued villainy. Animal in propensity, deceitful in sentiment, fraudulent in person. Purpose, I mean to make my short span of life 1 gallon day. So, and then it goes on. It's not in the lesson, but what happens to that type of thought?
Itself.
It is what destroys.
Yes.
We're towards the thou a fool moment.
Yes.
He even admitted it was a short span.
Span, yeah.
Going back to the passage about he that perverted his ways, it says, shall be known. This is the nature of truth. Things do come to light. In some way or another, whatever needs to be known will be known. This whole idea of deceitful and fraudulent, thinking you're going to smooth tongue villainy, you're going to get away with it. It's a very short span.
Thank you. So, and also, to get back to this idea that you can reverse the truth, I want to read a few things. And this is why it is important that we do know what our leader says about everything. And it's why you need to be very well versed in prose work, miscellaneous writings, miscellany, everything, all of it. In questions and answers, on page 55, she says, opposite to good is the universal claim of evil that seeks the proportions of good. There may be those who, having learned the power of the unspoken thought, use it to harm rather than to heal, and who are using that power against Christian scientists. This giant sin is the sin against the Holy Ghost spoken of in Matthew 12:31-32. And what does Christ say about that?
Tells the millstone around his neck
and grind to powder.
It will not, it's the unforgivable. It will not be forgiven. It will not be forgiven. So you can rest assured, if anyone tries to reverse the truth of Mrs. Eddy's truth, the truth, God's truth, well, don't be on the other side of that. I would not want to be on the other side of that. And then also, I'll have Gary read from the Message of 1901. Mental malpractice. I guess it needs to be read.
The whole thing.
Well, starting there, almost okay. The whole thing.
Page 19, Message for 1901. The whole world needs to know that the milder forms of animal magnetism and hypnotism are yielding to its aggressive features. We have no moral right and no authority in Christian Science for influencing the thoughts of others, except it be to serve God and benefit mankind. Man is properly self-governed, and he should be guided by no other mind than truth, the divine mind. Christian Science gives neither moral right nor might to harm either man or beast. The Christian Scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things. The mental malpractitioner is not, cannot be, a Christian Scientist. He is disloyal to God and man. He has every opportunity to mislead the human mind, and he uses it. People may listen complacently to the suggestion of the inaudible falsehood, not knowing what is hurting them or that they are hurt. This mental vein could not bewilder, darken, or misguide consciousness, physically, morally, or spiritually, if the individual knew what was at work and his power over it. This unseen evil is the sin of sins. It is never forgiven. Even the agony and death that it must sooner or later cause the perpetrator cannot blot out its effects on himself till he suffers up to its extinction and stops practicing it. The crimes committed under this new old regime of necromancy or diabolism are not easily reckoned. At present, its mystery protects it, but its hidden modus and flagrance will finally be known, and the laws of our land will handle its thefts, adulteries, and murders, and will pass sentence on the darkest and deepest of human crimes. Christian Scientists are not hypnotists. They are not mortal mind curists, nor faith curists. They have faith, but they have science, understanding, and works as well. They are not the addenda, the etc., or new additions of old errors. But they are what they are, namely, students of a demonstrable science leading the ages.
It's very clearly laid out there, isn't it?
Yes.
Says the whole world needs to know. this is going on. This is serious business, and it's something we can't not avoid talking about. You all are all doing watches. We often say on our watch that this is the word of God and cannot be reversed. You should always say that. But always, when you pray, you make sure you are not praying willfully, but you are praying for God's will to be done, and that you are aligning yourself up on the right side, and you're not personalizing the evil, but knowing it's animal magnetism calling itself something, but never the truth. Your work has to be done well and correctly. And it would seem that people would be trying to nullify it, but it can't be done. Janet said, 2 + 2 = 4. And woe be to anyone who would try to come up against God's will. God's will. And so, any questions or comments?
Well, I don't know how you could teach this science correctly if you didn't, if you thought Mrs. Eddy made mistakes and didn't think she was the woman in the prophecy either.
Exactly.
I don't even know why you'd be involved in Christian science at all.
If you thought that.
No, I mean, it's God's word.
God's word.
Exactly.
And we must humbly use it, wield the sword of truth, but with great humility. All of this is out, you know, all the things we talk about, it's out on the internet, and that's why I feel free to talk about it. We need to talk about it. You're going to get it one way or the other. People are getting all kinds of information, some of it very false. So we will stand here to clarify any misinformation. Any other comments or questions?
Yes. In the past, I always read where Mrs. Eddy said the final authority is what is in science and health, and I always unfortunately took that with a grain of salt. Why, I don't know, but some information, one from Linda on some of the reminiscences of early workers, which actually gets put into the We Knew Mary Baker Eddy series, except there they left out some very, very important points. And that's that Mrs. Eddy clearly told them that God is the authority. Science and health, at the end of the day, is the authority. It doesn't matter what anybody, even she herself, said, that it comes down to science and health. But of course, she followed science and health clearly because she studied it herself. And as far as I think what was talked about yesterday is so important, that who is truly happy. I mean, I used to work as a ski instructor, and people were paying $500 a day to have a lesson. What the heck can I tell a person about skiing that's worth $500 a day? It's crazy. I mean, and what is being done here is priceless, and that's what's important. And the people that have that, you see them in their lives, they're happy. People that were paying me that much, or the company that much money to ski with me, most of them, none of them were happy.
Well, there you are. Thank you, Mike.
So much for the gala day.
Gala day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think what I was supposed to do for that $500 was make them happy. That was pre-Christian science, and I had no clue how to do it. They didn't like what I was telling them about skiing, so that was pretty funny, too.
Right.
Well, that's why she said, this is the times. Science and health is it. Nothing else matches up. Science and health, she says, is the word to put out there to let people have.
Yes. And that's true. That was that, you know, rather than the building up of churches, put science and health out there, which is what we do too. It's very important because it's leavening. It's the leaven of truth, and it's working all around all places. And we really, who's to judge as to where it's working or how it's working? We just have to put it out there and let do the prayerful work to know that it is working in many different ways.
And the opposition to it, as we just read, is coming out in its most aggressive forms. Right? The fangs are showing.
It is cornered. And I would say, you know, generally speaking, it's a secular world. It's a godless world. And that has to be truly godless. There are many people who think they don't believe in God, but do they believe in love and life and truth? Yes, they do. So it's just their definition is perverted. Perverted. So, but the people who, if there are such people, are really anti-good in any way, well, they're the ones that we just read about. So, and if they are trying to, well, I mean, I will say the Hitlers of the world would be hard to believe that someone could operate as Hitler. How could that be? But that kind of thought can only destroy itself. Anyone else? And if you think we're not dealing with that sort of thing, we are.
Big time.
Yeah. And it would be nice, I would prefer just to talk about the hearts and roses and love, but I can't. You've got to know this. You've got to know it to protect yourself and to do the work correctly. And some people won't like it, but that's okay. Go ahead.
I think if you only spoke about the good things, we wouldn't be experiencing the growth we have.
Well, no, there are a lot of denominations that like to speak about the good things. They have their mega churches, stuff like that. But
on the other hand, they also make evil so real and almost more powerful, which
right.
is absolutely wrong.
Right. But
Eddie gave us the chapter on animal magnetism, which was very important.
Yes. And, you know, she has said, too, we build it up in order to tear it down. And in a good watch, you will never leave your watch feeling that it is a reality. It's not, but it has to be exposed for what it is. It cannot be dumb to it. Or it will try to work, and it would use you. But once you see it, just as that's what Gary read, once you see it for what it is, then you can handle it and overcome it and not be afraid of it either. Because if it's godless, it has no power. But it must be proven. And it's up to us.
It always feels good at the end of the watch to have that really peaceful feeling. I know that God is taking care of all that. Has no hope.
Yeah. Thank you. And, you know, all of this gives us substance, doesn't it? Gives us real substance. Real meaning. We're not superficial and shallow. It's truly substance.
We don't hold back.
No, we don't hold back. We don't retreat. We keep marching forward. Battle cry. As Daniel, and what did you write, Linda, about how he purposed in his heart?
The definition of purpose in the Webster's Revised Dictionary, that which a person sets before himself as an object to be reached or accomplished, the end or aim to which the view is directed in any plan, measure, or exertion, the view, aim, design, intention, to set forth to bring forward. So Daniel purposed in his heart. I realized, you know, that was a lot of discipline and work, and there were so many temptations. It would be easier just to go along with everything than...
Well, it might appear to be. You're right.
It might
but
appear to
a lot
be,
of
yes.
A lot of people did.
Especially what? As a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was Daniel's plan?
Not to eat of the king's meat and to... keep God before his thought.
Yeah, his plan was not to pervert what he knew about God.
Thank you.
He was going to prove the real substance.
Exactly. Yes. Not to defile himself before God.
Yes, and that's, again, the word perversion. Keep it pure.
And anyone, you know, anybody who has that plan, who has that purpose first in their heart, is on the right track.
And you know, this is it, because we're all not walking on water at this moment. So you work out from where you were from. And you don't try to be something more than what you are. You have to start from where you are and work out from there. And that he says, if honest, you'll finish your course with joy. You keep your honesty. And we're all different. We all come from different backgrounds, different viewpoints. We have different reasons we think and feel the way we do. That's why I love Mrs. Eddy's article on taking offense. Everyone has a different story to tell. And we must have infinite patience with those stories and understand that that's how it is. But as long as we are working toward it and doing the best we can moment by moment, we will progress.
But we must come with our stories humbly willing to be changed.
And yeah, if we don't want to change the story, then I have a problem.
I include in my watch a lot that people realize they're unfulfilled. Because I think that was one of the big things for me, realizing how unfulfilled I was, to help me be ready to be to come here.
That's true. Many people are, well, we've talked about that, I forget. Thoreau or one of those early writers, that people are living lives of quiet desperation. And I certainly was. So, to those who are needing this cold glass of water, we are here to give it and to have this best explanation of this science that we know to be possible. Anyone else? Is that all you wanted to say about purposing in your heart? And, you know, this is important for each one of us to do, and Linda gets into that, you know, making your covenant. You set your face like a flint toward Jerusalem. Not willfully, but deciding, well, this is what I want, and I'm not going to be thrown off track because there will be so many distractions to take you off.
And it's a matter, really, isn't it, of what you love, of what you seek for? Do you seek for the substance of truth, the real life, life eternal? Do you seek the substance of love, to reflect that love that God is to us and for us? Or do you love things that really aren't substantial? Like money in your bank account.
Or beautiful words without living them in your heart.
So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is what?
Not rich toward God.
Not rich toward God. Oh. Okay. Jeremy, before you go.
Oh, okay.
To begin rightly is to end rightly.
Yes, I was really glad to read that and think about it. And, before the church, I didn't think that way at all, and I didn't know, I wouldn't even have known how to begin rightly. So, of course, everything came to a horrible end. But now, you know, going into everything, praying about it, making sure it's actually what, you know, God wants me to do, and then moving forward from there, that's made a huge difference in my life, to having every day feel fulfilling as opposed to anthropomorphic.
Thank you. You know, this is the prayer without ceasing. Again, before you do anything, pray about it before you do it. Do it as you're pray as you're doing it, and then pray after you're doing it as well. That whatever it is was a blessing. Just keep turning it back to God.
I also wanted to thank you. One of your testimonies that we have on the website and YouTube was about that, starting rightly. So,
thank you. And Florence, your forum. The belief that man has any other substance or mind is not spiritual and breaks the first commandment, thou shalt have one God, one mind.
Mortal man seems to himself to be material substance, while man is image, idea. And, I mean, this is just so important to me, because without that, if I'm thinking I'm anything other than what God is, then again, I'm beginning wrongly. I said that if God is spirit, we ought to get serious and learn ourselves anew as ideas not subject to any material claims or spurious laws, but as ideas exalted and maintained by God in our spiritual state. Our true substance is not subject to pain, inflammation, infection, sadness, depression, fear, and as such, we are never in truth sick, sinning, or dying. As Bicknell Young says on page 38 of 1937 College, wisdom is never affected by blood circulation, justice by the action of heart, goodness cannot have a fever, mercy cannot ache or feel pain, kindness cannot be operated upon, nor can gratitude meet with an accident. So the question is always, am I this fleshly being, or is my substance entirely spiritual? If God is all, as in accord with the first commandment, then the latter better be what I am working diligently to know. And I think this is what made me so love the article, The New Birth, in miscellaneous writings, because before science, I mean, I never thought of myself as spiritual, but this is telling us that this is a new journey, it's a new way of life, it's a new way of thinking, and you know, we work to gain this, the spiritual sense that is revealing this truth about ourselves, and that to me, always in thought, is beginning rightly in our work.
Thank you. Beautiful. So, you know, ask yourself, what is your substance? Is it in spirit? All those beautiful things that were listed there. Gratitude, have an accident. I mean, if you're expressing gratitude, if you're thinking the things of God, you'll be immune to physical ailments and problems, because you will be living in the spirit. You'll be walking in the spirit, as the Bible says. That's doing it, even though we seem to be appearing right now in the flesh. We, as I said before, you work out from where you are. Imbibe the things of the spirit. That's where your treasure is. Understand your security is in spirit, God. Your supply comes from God. When you see it there, you'll always have everything you need all the time. When you get to where you're looking physically for things, then things get dicey.
They get perverted.
They get perverted.
Yeah. And this may seem like a real challenge, and in fact, it is a real challenge for most of us to start rightly with everything, to remember that life is spiritual, not material. Man is spiritual, not material. I am spiritual, not material. That is a big leap. But if thought is right, and God will guide, God will give you what you need to make that journey. And that, to me, is what is so important about the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. Because they give us what state of thought God can actually work with. The pure in heart. The poor in spirit. Those that know they need more. Merciful. Those who will love, keep loving. On it goes through the states of thought, the state of thought that is deceptive. So I go back to, if you're having trouble on this journey, if you're having trouble starting right, getting rid of the material images, thought, keep trying to interfere with the spiritualization of thought, go back and read Sermon on the Mount. Mrs. Eddy even once said, the Sermon on the Mount, if read every Sunday, be a perfect sermon. Just don't give up. Don't get discouraged.
And really, I think if we endeavor to obey the first commandment, it decreases our blindness. It helps us see a little more clearer every day. Just to remember to obey the first commandment. It's been very helpful for me.
Yes.
Thank you.
All of these things keep us pure, keep us again from getting perverted. We go back to these basic truths. And then we will be led aright. And if we should make a misstep, we can retrace our steps and get back on the path again. To keep going back to the truth. I'm going to have Gary close. This is Big Mel Young. We spoke briefly about this article yesterday. It's a very short article in Collected Writings. And it's called, If We Say I Want. It's deep metaphysics, so think carefully. If we say, I want, are we?
Big Neil Young, Collected Writings. If we say, I want, we obscure I am. The only I there is cannot want. Man is a state of possession, not of desire. When we set aside, I want, then I am is present. If there is anything you want, stop and think. That's the reason you haven't got it. When you see that everything and everybody is governed by God, that is the ark, and there is safety. When you seek manifestation, you are separation. A Christian scientist is of value only as he evaluates. Peter was all right and making his demonstration until fear came in. Then he sank. We are not making a living. Living is being. And being is God. And God is living. When you are handling fear, handle it. Don't be it. Don't put your fear into your treatment of fear. Spirit is the only tangible thing. Tangibility is substance, and substance is spirit. Someone said, it seems to me the claim constantly is that we cannot see spirit. The answer was, my dear, you cannot see anything else but spirit. It would be impossible to, even if you tried.
And that one. So remember that.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you all for joining our roundtable today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.